There are several threads in my mind at this point. I'm trying to decide what thread to follow. Guess the one that's most alive in this moment for me is a kind of a question that arose in my mind while I was offering the guided meditation. I think at one point I said that the practice of just being with yourself and receiving what's here is a complete practice. And it occurred to me to I kind of like heard somebody ask, but why? How is that possibly a complete practice? How is that possibly lead us to ease and peace and happiness to just be with ourselves as we are? How does that work? And so I thought I'd say a few thoughts about that. My understanding of how, essentially, how mindfulness works. So, as we meet our experience with the mindfulness, being with our experience, the way that this practice of just receiving what's arriving, what's arising, what's here, noticing each moment what's here, the way that that is a transformative practice is when there that receiving is simply, it is simply a receiving and a curiosity of what is this that's arising. It doesn't have any agenda around what to do about it or whether to do anything about it. It just simply knows this is what's here. Very mirror-like. A mirror, just, if there's a mirror in the room, it is simply reflecting what's in front of it, and the mirror itself is not affected by what's there. It's just reflecting. That's its job, to reflect. And we could say that the job of mindfulness is also to reflect what's here. And the reason why that is transformative, or what happens there, it's something, it seems to be something to do with our human system, the way we're built in a way, that when we become aware of what's arising in the moment, and what's arising in the moment is connected. I mean, there's the physical stuff that arises, all of that, but the freedom, or where the awareness of what's happening becomes really transformative, is when we become aware of what's going on in our minds. And so the physical things are interesting and a great source to recognize that we're often not just simply receiving what's going on in our bodies. We're often happy with or not happy with. We like things, we don't like things. We want things to continue, we want things to stop. And all of that is going on in our minds. And so with the physical side of things, there's this, it's rare that we just experience, oh yeah, there's a physical sensation. There's almost always something else that goes on with it. We don't want that physical sensation. It's painful. We don't like it. We want it to go away. It's pleasant. We want more of it. We lean into it. And so there's this stream of responses happening in our minds to what's going on. And that's really where the mindfulness begins to, when we can know that part of experience, when we can receive that part of experience as well. The power of that reflective mindfulness that can just know what's there, begins to show up, begins to point itself out to us. So when we are mindful, when we are aware of stuff going on in our mind that is connected with greed or aversion or confusion, our human system feels that as stress. We feel the suffering of those movements of mind. So, for instance, anger arising in the mind, or frustration or irritation around something that's happening in the world. That arising in the mind, when the mind can recognize, oh, what's happening is there's something going on and there's irritation. That reflective capacity, awareness, just knowing that. Awareness knowing, oh, there's irritation happening right now. When the awareness can know that and just simply know it, just reflect it, like I was describing in the guided meditation. Oh, I'm here. Oh, irritation is here. Okay, what's that like? What the experience of that is in the moment will have some sense of contraction or stress that's felt. Now, the reason this is helpful, I mean, it's helpful partly because when we are normal, our normal relationship to these things arising in the mind, a normal relationship to anger or irritation or frustration, is to be in the frustration, in the irritation, trying to do something about it. So we are aware, perhaps we know that we're irritated and we're kind of messing with things and trying to fix things. But what we are not so aware of in that moment is the suffering connected with the irritation itself, the stress that's connected with the irritation itself. We think there's stress connected with the thing that's happening in the world. And so the mindfulness begins to reveal these kind of undercurrents of stress that happen in connection with the things that go on in our mind when they are rooted in greed, aversion, and delusion. Now, on the other side of things, if we are experiencing something and there is a quality of open-heartedness or love or connection or compassion or patience, qualities of that are not based in greed, aversion, and delusion, but are based in love, in compassion, in equanimity. When a mind is aware of those, when awareness knows those, with that reflecting, that same kind of reflecting quality, when awareness knows those, it feels the non-stress of that. It feels the delight of that. It feels the open-heartedness, that the heart can feel soft with that. It can feel expansive. And so when that mindfulness, when that awareness becomes aware of those wholesome qualities of mind, there's a different feedback loop. We get a sense of, oh, this is what it's like to feel ease or peace or calm or balance. And there's a sense in the experience. It's like our human system understands in that moment. It understands this is a helpful way to be. This is a skillful way to be. On the other side, when we are feeling the irritation and the annoyance and the confusion and the frustration and the anger, whatever things that are based in greed, aversion, and delusion, our system understands this is not a helpful way to be. And so mindfulness, this awareness, this simple awareness, it just meets experience. Whatever we're meeting, if we're meeting something that's challenging, it's giving us feedback of, if we're meeting something that's based in greed, aversion, and delusion, it's giving us feedback. This is not helpful. If we're experiencing something that is not based in greed, aversion, and delusion, that is based with love, equanimity, compassion, joy, it gives us the feedback, this is a helpful way to be. And so the mindfulness is not, it's not just like a mirror, because a mirror doesn't do anything with what it receives. And the mindfulness, it's like it opens us, the job of mindfulness is to reflect, but that reflection opens us to understanding. It opens us to the possibility of understanding what is helpful and what is not helpful. Now, our habits and patterns will jump in here, you know, when we feel the stress and struggle of the, when awareness, when we're mindful of something that's painful, difficult, our habits, you know, we have so many habits of mind, our habits of wanting to get rid of something that's unpleasant, of wanting to fix something that's unpleasant. So we feel the awareness, receiving the experience of anger, aversion, knows it as unpleasant. And the habit of mind will often want to jump in there and try to fix it. And so it's like that we don't trust the simple capacity of the awareness to revealing that stress or suffering to be enough. Like, we don't trust that. So we feel like we need to get in there and be involved and do something. And there are times when we do need to do something, when we can't just be mindful, when we find that whatever it is, the difficulty, the stress, the frustration, the reactivity is so strong that it's stronger than our capacity to be mindful, then we do need to do something, because we'll just get sucked into it. I saw this happen so many times early in my practice around anger. I would try to be mindful of it and I'd get sucked into it. And so I learned at some point when I needed to step away, when I needed to turn my attention to something else. And so the practice of receiving experience, that where I said that's a complete practice in and of itself, that needs to be held with some wisdom that understands when we can't do that, when it's not possible to simply settle back and say, oh, hi there, this is what's here, oh, you too, you're welcome, come on in, let's be together. You know, we can't always do that. And so we need to have the wisdom to recognize that's not possible and to bring our attention to something else. So we use some other skillful means to help balance the mind, to help ground the attention, to take it out of what is creating so much reactivity. And so that's a piece of the larger practice. That's a piece of the larger practice. And yet when we can be aware of just what's here, more and more in my own practice, I have a deep, deep trust of that, a deep trust of just the recognition, this is what's here. Noticing this squeezing feeling in my mind and a sense of the mind getting tight and contracted. Yeah, that's what's known and that's what's there. And then watching it release, watching it let go. When the awareness, when the mindfulness has the capacity to know, to be with what's here, part of what happens there is the mind begins to really learn at a deeper level. And it's not a quick learning, actually, in my experience. It takes a long time for the mind to really understand, you know, for instance, something like irritation. You know, we may experience it as a state of contraction a few times, and then we keep seeing it happen, and it's like, well, I've seen it, I've seen this, that it's not like helpful. Why does it keep doing it? Habit is why it keeps doing it. And it's like the habit hasn't quite understood that it's suffering. The habit is has its own momentum. And so it takes time. It takes many, many times of seeing these things. But it's a, there's a, there is a learning that happens. There's a learning. And sometimes with the mindfulness, when we're working with something challenging, being aware of it, sometimes what we are learning is this thing that's happening, this reactivity that's going on in the mind, this is painful. That's sometimes what we're learning, is the painfulness of that. And that the way that learning works, I said that, you know, the mind begins to understand what's helpful and what's not helpful. And so in my experience in seeing these kind of habits and patterns over and over and over again, I begin to see that it's like the mind needs to learn at a deep level. The mind needs to learn that these patterns and habits of reactivity create stress and suffering. And as the mind learns that it is at a deep level, the mind begins to understand and let go of that. So I've seen in my own practice, you know, the mind kind of heading in the direction of a habit or pattern, kind of seeing, you know, the intention to get angry come up. And it's like in that moment of seeing that happen, all of that knowledge, all of that learning of that way lies suffering arises. And the mind just let it go. That experience, I talked about an experience like this quite a bit, but that experience for me was so transformative because it really gave me faith in the power of just watching over and over again, anger, over and over again, seeing it there, over and over again, feeling how painful it was. And then seeing all of that learning arise in the moment as the anger was, you know, kind of building itself up, that mind just said, yeah, I don't think so. And it let it go. So that's the kind of, to me, that was a very trust-producing moment. That produced a lot of trust in just that simple recognition of awareness, of being aware of experience. And on the other side, we also develop and cultivate those wholesome qualities, because with being with those, as we see those and feel the way love connects us and the way equanimity creates a balance in the mind, and it all has a sense of spaciousness and non-contraction, the mind kind of gravitates in that direction. That's a great thing. Our system is kind of designed to move in the direction of well-being when it gets the information about what well-being actually is. And so this practice of mindfulness that, you know, the Buddha discovered, I mean, it's such a simple thing. Mindfulness is so simple. But the trust in it to help us to understand, to help our system kind of get the information of what are the things that lead towards deeper happiness? What are the things that lead towards struggle and stress? When we get that information by being present with our experience, our system moves us in the direction of happiness. It's like we don't have to make those choices. We don't have to do it. We do have to engage with this curiosity of what is it to be this human being and be willing to be with all of the messiness of it as we can, and to skillfully know when to step away, when our mindfulness isn't strong enough to meet that. So I did want to leave some time for questions or comments or reflections. So any comments or thoughts about anything? It doesn't even have to be about what I shared. Ali.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, thank you for your teaching. So as you were talking about, like, to see what the mindfulness picks up and thinks it's helpful and what is not, mine is not quite, I'm not alone, I know, it's quite neutral. They call in one side loving awareness, mine is like far from it. It has a tendency of picking up stuff that's going on internally that is wrong and just staying with that, see that in order to fix it or whatever, and it never gets fixed. I mean, it's helpful to look at it from different angles at different times. But the good things, if I had to, you know, guess maybe 15-20% it notices, hey, you did that thing nicely, or attaboy, all that kind of stuff. But then the 80% is not picking up. I don't think it's picking up because I'm not doing 80%, you know, filled with all the aversion and then hatred and all that. But that's what is picking up from an internal environment.
So you're saying that mostly the mindfulness picks up,
for me, yeah,
resistance and confusion, and that was my experience too in my practice early on, and you know, I think that's very common, very natural, that's what we would see. So if it can be, I mean, you said it's not like a loving awareness, it's more like neutral or something. That's okay too. If it can be neutral and just like, well, what is this experience of anger or frustration? There is some learning that happens there.
But it sends like a message as far as, you know, having to, something is wrong and you need to fix this, or something of that nature goes inside and then mind gets busy on that route.
Okay, so it starts to think about what needs to be fixed and you kind of lose the mindfulness. So that might be a time to redirect the attention, you know, as the mind kind of gets pulled in. And that's what I said about the anger at first. You know, I would see that, you know, it's like, there's the anger. And yep, I go down that rabbit hole of what I got to do about it. And I lose the mindfulness. And so that was when I began to recognize, okay, that's not the time to try to be mindful of that, but to let the mind take a rest from it, to turn the attention to something else for a while. Maybe just, you know, sit with your breath for a little while, or just give yourself a break from it. And then you might be able to come back to it later.
Yeah. Well, when do I work with the insight, as far as, you know, I mean, it's picking up something that has like some bearing to the truth, maybe 20%. And that's an insight about like stuff, the patterns that I have that are not, you know, helpful. So when do I work with those? I mean, that needs to be picked up and worked on also with that Vipassana part of it. Go ahead.
So, so describe what you mean there. So sometimes you notice, oh, this is a pattern, this is a habit or something like
that. Right. And then I need to work on it, work on it, maybe just like fixing it. And then by fixing, I mean, turning around, looking at it from different angles and all that kind of stuff. I mean, basically it's fixing it. Is that like Zen book? As I said, there's nothing wrong with you, but we all think there is.
So if you notice there's some insight there and understanding, oh, this is a pattern. So if that kind of state of mind is there, you might be able to kind of just be with, well, this is what's happening right now. So we don't necessarily have to try to look and say, okay, well, what else is there and what else is there and how did this come? You know, that's more reflection in a way, as opposed to what's here with this experience. And so when you have that sense of insight, of understanding, oh, this is a pattern, maybe that's the time not to try to think about it or work with it in our habitual ways of how do I, learn more of how do I learn more about this by getting on all the sides of it, but more, what is here? That's what mindfulness is pointing us to, is more deepening into what's here now.
Yeah, rather than staying with the reflective part, are you
That's
saying?
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you can, I mean,
Right.
if it's sometimes that being with that kind of that experience can be triggering, and we end up back in the thinking how to fix it or change it or get rid of it again. So you need to know whether there's that capacity to kind of be that being with that kind of landing into, like the mindfulness. Carol Wilson has this phrase, 360 degree mindfulness. It just can infuse what's here. And it's like that's the kind of exploration that can happen there. It's kind of like, okay, this is happening. What is wanting to sh what do you want to show me? It's like, what are you showing me?
But then that
Okay.
goes into the reflective part, though. As soon
Well,
as I answer that question, what do you want to show me?
but that you're not asking yourself the question, you're asking your system the question. So you're not trying to answer it consciously. And if questions tend to take you into thinking, then don't use questions. Use other images or something, like a
Okay.
sinking in or a spreading out or something like that. Yeah, thanks, Ali.
Thank you.
And there was one in the chat. I'll read this one. I sometimes find that when I try to be with the reactivity, as soon as mindfulness arises of the reactivity goes away before I can be with it. First of all, I'll just say, that's fine. Just notice that that happens. Just notice that that happens. I feel this happens because of the mind intellect moving away from the reactivity before I can experience what it's like. Maybe, but hold that lightly. I also had this experience at one point on a retreat. I was looking at experience, and it's like, well, I want to look at that. And as soon as I turned to look at it, it went away. And I went and reported to my teacher, I don't know how to look at emotions because whenever I try to look at them, they go away. And she said, well, just trust your experience. That's what's happening. I attributed something on top of it, like I don't know how to look at emotions. I'm doing something wrong. And partly it can be, it might be that there's a kind of a moving away, but also that experience of that curiosity of, oh, here's something happening in this moment. There's a curiosity of, let's see what's here. Sometimes that mind of interest and curiosity has so much wholesomeness in it that the reactivity just vanishes, it vaporizes. So it's not necessarily that it's because you're moving away from it. Does it, so you did, yeah. It could be, but you would probably feel some kind of retreat or some kind of constriction or something. If it just feels like there's mindfulness, like the mindfulness is curious and it's opening to this, and it's like, where did it go? Just know that that happened. That's enough. If you feel a little bit of like constriction, then you can know that. If there is in what happened, it's like, aside from the like, oh, I must have done something wrong, but if it feels like, oh, I don't want to see that, you'll probably notice that as a kind of a constriction. And then you can just be aware of that. But based on what you described, I think it's probably just that the curiosity and the mindfulness are that created the conditions for that state of that reactivity to go away.